Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. The Bible talks about a man who did something and prayed something that changed his life. And I was just thinking how that God had prepared me this week. A new reminder, do our children know what we know? Do our grandchildren know what we know? This is not a negative, but this is a question that needs to be asked. What do we know? And do our children know? And do our grandchildren know? And if you'll go through Deuteronomy, he said, teach the children, teach the children, teach the children, teach the children. Nowadays, many young people don't even have a father, much less a grandfather, to talk to them and to teach them and to show them the ways of God. It's very important. So God is saying, get ready, a blessing is coming. New things are on the way. Our location is new, but are we new? Our God is ready, but are we ready? The Holy Spirit is ready to send revival, but are we ready to receive fresh oil and new wine? You see, God's not just moving us to another location. God's calling us to a higher level. God's calling all of us. God's calling me. And I'm, by the grace of God, leading the charge. My daily prayer is, God, change me. God, change me. Help me to see things as you would see them. We do a lot of things around here that if you don't see God's call on it, it doesn't pay. The power tower doesn't pay. Stitches doesn't pay. A lot of other things we do around here don't pay if you're looking for the dollar return at the gate. But if you believe that God pays the bills, then that's a whole new thing. We do a lot of things that are not popular in certain circles. This church puts its money where its mouth is, and we stand up and put first things first, and we keep the main thing, regardless of how circumstances may be. But God has called me to make a new commitment to Calvary Cathedral, to Christian education, to all of our other ministries, to get ready because the All Things New is coming to Calvary Cathedral International. It's not here yet, but it's on the way. I just want you to know. I got a fax from heaven this week, and God says it's on the way. The package is on the way. It's not here yet. Some of it is visible. Most of it is not. But I must make a new commitment to the present and to the future of this ministry. Our staff, our church, our leadership must change. Every department must change. Everyone must stand up and be stronger in the Lord than you've ever been. All things new is our word from God. And if we let God send new revival to us, it will ignite our families, our city, our metroplex, and our nation. Now let me just go and sort of finish up with 1 Chronicles chapter 4. You talk about motivation. You know, the first part of my ministry, I've still got some books. I was looking through libraries, stuff I haven't touched in quite a while. I mean, anything I could get my hands on about motivation, I bought the book. I was with the Book of the Month Club of two or three motivational things before even the names that are so popular now have appeared. That's been a number of years ago. You know why? Because I heard so much negativism in church work, in church life when I was growing up. I had it up to here. I had it up to here. I was sick and tired of hanging around preachers that were waiting for the next depression. And so we're not going to build. We're not going to expand. We can't spend any money. We're like Montgomery Ward. You know, you look up going out of business. You know when Montgomery Ward started going out of business? In the 1950s. Montgomery Ward started going out of business in the 1950s when they said another great depression is coming. And their CEO said, we're going to sit on our cash. We're not going to expand. We're not going to do anything new. And even Sears had the foresight to branch out. After a while, Montgomery Ward tried to catch up, but it was too late and not enough, even at that point. You see, we must learn a lesson. The children of this generation are wiser than the children of light. We need to learn a lesson, folks. You can't sit on it. You can't play safe and secure. You can't say, God's brought us safe thus far, and so we're just going to, you know, bury it all in the ground. We're going to play it safe. There's no security outside of God. And if God's hand was not on this church, there's not enough insurance companies in the world. There's not enough believers in the Metroplex. There's not enough anything of anything to bring us through if God's hand is not on this church. The proof of the pudding is simply this. God's hand is on this church. God's hand is on my life. God's hand is on our staff. God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Montgomery Ward is bankrupt and out of business because they refuse to spend money. They refuse to be wise. They refuse to branch out. They played it safe, waiting for the next depression, and they're bankrupt today. Whereas others, they invested. They reached out. Yes, any investment is a faith venture. Anything you do that's out of the ordinary, it's a faith venture. But others dared to invest. They dared to believe. They dared to prepare for tomorrow. And they're still in business. And I was just in a shopping center yesterday. I looked down the hall. It said, either going out of business, they might as well put up, it's all gone. As a kid, I used to live for the Montgomery Ward catalogs. I could take a vacation in Montgomery Ward catalog. Man, I'm telling you, there were more things in there in that Montgomery Ward catalog. If you've never seen one, you've missed half your life. I didn't need television. I could dream. I could dream. I could dream. Look at those BB guns and the canoes and the do-it-yourself little motor scooters. And man, I could just dream in that Montgomery Ward catalog. I mean, I would just be lost, be in my own world. Couldn't afford most of it, but I can dream, can't I? But Montgomery Ward said, no more catalogs, no more investment. We're not going to invest. Times are too tough. They're out of business. One day it dawned on me as I was reading my Bible, every principle that really works in a motivational book or conference is found, goes right back to the Word of God. If you will read your Bible, in fact, if you'll read the Apostle Paul, one of the most motivational writers in the universe was the great Apostle Paul, who said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. If God be for us, who can be against us? And on the story goes. Positive. Oh, yeah, he was in jail. I don't mind him telling me about him being in jail. It helps me to know when I'm going through a hard time that it's not the end of the world. But Paul said, none of these things move me. He said, I went to court. No one showed up to help me. But he said, the Lord stood with me. I'll tell you, when I walk with Paul, I go through the prison, I go through the shipwrecks, and I know that nothing can stop you as long as your faith is in God and as long as you don't let circumstances get you down. Shipwrecks cannot sink you. All the negativisms of life cannot put you under. The only thing that can put you under is you. You're the undertaker. You're the doctor that says the last rites over your dream and over your vision. You're the one that puts you 6 foot under. Well, so I don't read those books anymore. I read the greatest book in the world, and it's God's book. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'm trying to get there. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now, what does this mean? Here's a man that dared to be better than he had to be. You know this as well as I do, I hope, but in case one person still doesn't, we're going to approach it one more time. You know, there are businessmen, there are preachers, there are housewives, there are college students, there are teenagers. They don't do anything they don't have to do or anything they're not made or driven to do. You know who the successful people are in this life? The people who dare to do and to be more than they have to be. Those that don't drop the hammer when the whistle blows, they'll work an extra 15 minutes. They might even work an extra hour. They might even work a couple of hours and not have a heart attack if they don't get paid for it, because their heart is in what they do. You know, you're very blessed if you have a job that you enjoy. And if you have a job that you enjoy, if you keep acting like you enjoy it, you'll probably keep that job. Probably. Jabez was more honorable. He dared to do more and dared to be more than those around him. He didn't let his negative family pull him down. I mean, some families, what do you mean getting a newer car than we have? What do you mean having a better home? Who do you think you are? Jabez did not measure himself by others. He said, I'm going to do and I'm going to be the best that I can possibly be. And it worked, it worked, it worked. Something else with Jabez, bless his heart, he didn't know he shouldn't have been successful. His mother, bless her heart, she either had a bad husband or no husband, or she had some real problems when he was born. And if your mother had a problem when you were born, you bore that the rest of your life. And the way she'd do that is put a name on you. And Jabez's name meant sorrowful and pain. Now, if Charlie would have said, "Help me welcome our pastor, Dr. Payne, Reverend Sorrowful, Brother Disaster, a man who's failed at everything he's put his hand to, but let's listen to this man today," you'd say, "I got problems of my own." Right? You don't buy a $50 ticket or $25 ticket to go hear the worst failure in the world unless he's going to tell you how he failed, tell you the truth about it. Then you could learn something. But even then, you can pick up on it if you're real sharp. You see, he had a name, but he chose to be more than others, more honorable than others. He chose to be more and to do more. He did not measure himself by others. He rose above others, be they relatives, friends, families, or contemporaries. And then he prayed. You know, God blesses praying people. God blesses praying people. Never forget that God blesses young people who pray. Never forget that God blesses young people who pray. If you've dug into something, there's only one way you're going to dig out of it, and that's through prayer and the Word. It takes a while to dig in, takes a little while to dig out. If you've dug out as many times as I have, you don't want to dig in anymore. I want to get it right the first time. He prayed. So something's not clicking, something's not working in your life. What are you going to do about it? You're going to complain, you're going to gripe, you're going to tell everybody else about it. They can't do anything. They're going to tell you their problems when you get through telling them your problems. That's the problem about this thing of talking about your problems. Just as soon as you get through telling them how bad things are for you, now they've got equal time to tell you how bad things are for them. And both of you go down the road crying and weeping. I'm going to tell you, who you talk with and what you say when you talk to them is where you're going. Who you talk to and what you say to them when you talk to them is where you're going. And so he prayed. I imagine Jabez sat on a rock one day and he said, "You know, Paul, my mama really put a number on me. Bless her heart, I don't know what was wrong. I don't know what had gone wrong." And probably it was. I'm not making light. There's a lot of sad things that can happen. But he said, "You know, there's just one way I'm going to come out of where I am. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to talk to God about this thing. I'm going to pray." That'll work if you're 5, if you're 15, if you're 50. I'm going to pray. That works if you're a preacher. That even works for a preacher, doesn't it? Don't know what to do. I couldn't tell you how many times I have personally not known what to do. And sometimes I was hard-pressed to find anyone else that knew what to do since the storm. And so I said, "God, help us. God, bring people into our life. It's so important to have the right people in your life. This has been proven to me. You need to have quality people in your life. Don't let your best friends be flaky, mouthy, critical, negative. Know everything about everything, but they have no answers to anything." Man alive, I've watched my conversation. I've watched who I listen to. I've watched who I've talked to. God, let me talk with people who've been through and come through successfully. Very important. Jabez says, "I don't know anybody any more successful than God. God's more successful than my best friend. God's more successful than my worst friend. God's more successful than anybody I know. I'm going to talk to God, because when I talk to God, things happen. When I talk to God, things move. When I talk to God, good things begin to happen." He prayed. "Oh God, thou knowest how terrible things are and how hard life is." And No. This man took the high road. The low road will never get you to victory. The low road, the negative road, will never get you to the victory that you so desire to achieve. The low road will never get you there. Only the high road. Only the word road. Only the faith road. And listen to the prayer that he prayed. He called on the God of Israel. Good move. He prayed. Well, I can't pray as good as others can pray, but you can pray. Well, I don't know how to pray. You know how to talk. You know how to talk. You can talk by the hour. I've tried to get you on your telephone lines. Busy for an hour. You're talking to somebody. He prayed. All right, four things he said. Do you know Jabez had the audacity to pray, God bless me more than anyone I know. God bless our church more than any church I know. Was he saying don't bless others? No. God has enough for everybody. But he said, God bless me more than anyone. God bless our church. Why? Because we're doing so much and reaching out to do so much. God bless me indeed, abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. God bless me. What a prayer. Indeed. And you know why? It's the same thing God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. You know, blessing has a hollow, shallow ring if you can't share it with somebody. I mean, the most selfish, the most frustrated people in the world are people that have been blessed, but they don't do anything with it. You know who the happy people are? The givers. The givers and the non-givers never understand each other. The givers just don't understand why this non-giver won't give. And the non-giver just doesn't understand why these people are throwing their money away. We're not throwing our money, we're sowing our money. And whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. You ask a Jewish businessman if they have any Jewish understanding of God's word about them, they know the value of giving 10%. I mean, it's not a religious thing, it's just a fact of life. In fact, I've gone into shops of Jews and Arabs alike. They said, you're the first customer. And from the way it looked, I mean, the door just opened when I walked in. They said, if we can't sell you something, we'll give you something. You know why? They've discovered that what you put in, you take out. And they say it's bad luck for someone to come in and not buy and you not give. Something's got to happen on that first transaction. God bless me indeed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could have written a $100,000 tithe check this morning? Wouldn't it be wonderful if tomorrow you could drop by our principal's office and say, I want to invest $100,000 or $500,000 in our Christian school. I just want to be a part of all that's happening. I mean, there's money in Fort Worth for everything except private Christian schools. Most of the money goes to things that are already dead. And you walk through and you say, yeah, it's still dead. You walk through next year, it'll still be dead. Hey, what we're investing our money in is alive. Boys and girls and teenagers and young people. What we're investing our money in is going to live as long as God lives for eternity. I'm talking about Christian education, and of course that goes for the whole church. God bless me more than anyone that I know. Bless me indeed. Lord, enlarge my coast, my territory, my influence. All three are found in various translations. You see, you've got to have some money to enlarge your coast, your territory, and your influence. Bigger buildings, more utilities, more land, more taxes. I'm talking about all things being equal. You see, so if you're going to ask for more, you got to have more to take care of more. Right? I remember years ago, I used to buy a two-year-old Lincoln. I got into it, a man sent me a two-year-old Lincoln. They were low mileage, and man, I got a deal. Got in cheaper than I could have gotten into other comparable cars, much. And I went to the bank, and, you know, sometimes you look back and you think, man, I've come a long way since then. And my banker, he was nice, and I took care of my business, and he was taking care of the note. And I said, I wonder what kind of gas mileage this thing gets. And my banker said, Bob, if you have to ask that question, you shouldn't be buying this vehicle. If you're not ready for success, don't pray for it. If you're not willing to pay the price tag of success, stay away from it. It'll cost you before it pays. There's investment before return. I'm telling you, we invested in Christian school when it could have pulled this church under years ago. In fact, the man that financed the first balloon note out of St. Louis, he said, I'll finance your church if you'll give up your Christian school. And I said, sir, that's part of our vision. We're not going to do it. He was silent for about 10 minutes and finally said, if you feel that fervently about it, he said, I'm a Christian businessman and I know that story. Our church had to close because our school didn't pay. But he said, if you feel that fervently about it, we'll take care of your loan and I believe God will see you through. See, God was testing a point there. God was testing a point there. God bless me more than anyone. Enlarge my coast. Give me more business. If you have more business, that means you have to have more business sense. If you're driving two trucks and you have more business, that means you need a third or a fourth or a fifth truck. More insurance, more drivers, more taxes, more liabilities, a greater challenge to keep the crews running. It all goes together. I mean, some people, I don't think they ever really seriously think, well, yeah, God, just do this and do that and just, boom, you know, just. Hey, honey, there's a price tag to anything that's worthwhile. There's a price tag to anything that's worthwhile. There's an investment. There's a responsibility. There's a commitment to anything that's worthwhile. So when he said enlarge my coast or my territory, my influence, it's the next logical part of the prayer after bless me indeed. And then third, he said, Lord, that your hand might be with me. This church pound for pound, step for step, has as much bang for the buck as any church you'll find on the face of God's earth. And we've proven it for years. And that's one of the reasons God's bringing us through this time that could have put us under. Could have put all our ministries under. You see, if God's not in it, I don't want it. If God can't ride with me in my car, I don't want the car. If God can't live with me in a better house, I don't want the better house. When things are better, it's either a curse or it's a blessing. Make no mistake about it. And so we're just doing good and we're blessing the Lord and tithing offerings and we're so faithful, God, and God blesses you with more and you disappear off the scene of action. What happened just became a curse. Oh, you can go ahead and fake it till you make it, but there's a bridge out somewhere. In God's books, 2 and 2 still makes 4. And you read the book of Proverbs. You do right, you get right. You believe right, you receive right. You try to shortcut. There's no shortcut to success. And then he said that thou wouldest keep me from evil. And I cry with everything that I have within me. None of us are perfect. If it was not for God's grace, not one of us would be in this auditorium right now. If we were to say, every perfect person who has always been perfect in this audience, stand up. And we all sat down, God could open the earth and we could disappear. We're here by the grace of God. We're all here by the grace and the mercy of God. Don't ever forget that. God's been good to us. God's extended more grace to us than any of us deserve. But he said, Lord, keep me from the evil and the pain. One translation said, and the pain or the grief that it brings. You know, it's not that God doesn't forgive. It's just the downtime of what you put yourself through. And I want you to know the Lord is the strength of our life and he keeps us. He's the strength of our mind. He's the strength of our body. He's the strength of everything we do. Keep me from the evil, Lord, and the grief that it brings to me and the grief that it brings to others. Sin hurts everybody. Now, you know, it doesn't take a real sharp person to read those little 4 points there. And as you look at that, no matter who you are here today, if you love God, you've asked Jesus to come into your heart as your personal Savior, you're a candidate to pray. Why do you keep letting what somebody names you keep you down? Who called you a failure? Who said you're not successful? Who said you're dumb? Who said you can't learn? Who said you'll never be successful in business? Do you believe that? Well, then that's it. Why do you keep putting yourself under the burden that someone put on you? If God says, if God be for me, who can be against me? That's all I need. If God says, nay, in all these things, you're more than a conqueror, then that's all I need. If God believes in me, that's it. If God says I can make it, I can make it. If God says I can change my destiny, I can do it. Jabez changed his destiny through faith in God. His name was sorrow and pain and negativism. But Jabez says, I don't receive it, I rise above it. I'm not going to walk in what somebody put on me. Bless my mother's heart. I'm not going to let what she said about me, what she put on me, or what people think. I'm going to stand up and prove that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And if someone says, I don't believe you can, just say, that's okay. Just keep watching me. You've earned the right to unbelief. Now prove that you can do it. Just keep on walking. And you know how you come out of a mess? You know how you come out of any kind of a mess? One step at a time. You know how you come out of a mess? One step at a time. One step at a time. One step at a time. You just keep doing right. You just keep believing right until you get to the top of the mountain. I love to think back every once in a while on Bill Sands. I saw him one night on The Tonight Show many, many years ago. Bill Sands, the worst criminal in Alcatraz. They said he'll never make it in society, serving, I think, 3 life sentences. And Warden Duffy came into that prison, and this man was an optimist. And he said, who's the worst prisoner in Alcatraz? They said, without a doubt, Bill Sands. Where is he? He's down in the hole. I want to go see him. No, you don't get close to Bill Sands. His nose has been broken so many times in fights in this prison that there's no tissue left in part of his face. Warden Duffy said, you go with me. I'm going to see the worst prisoner. You know, it's amazing what you can do if somebody believes in you. If you have any character, if you have anything about you, if somebody believes in you, and if you believe in that person's belief in you, you can come out. Warden Duffy went down, and it so startled Bill Sands because they said if any authority comes into his cell, we have to pull him off of them. Bill Sands looked at him and said, what are you doing down here? He said, I care. He said, nobody cares. He said, my mother doesn't even send me correspondence. I wrote my mother and begged her at least to send me a Christmas card, send me a birthday card. I never get any mail from anyone. Nobody cares whether Bill Sands lives or dies. And Warden Duffy got in his face and said, Bill Sands, I care. He communicated. Bill Sands had the first ray of hope he had had in years. Somebody cares. Somebody cares. No, it could. Yeah, the guy says he cares. And Warden Duffy said, he said, I'll never get out of this place. He said, yeah, you can get out. There's a way out. But you got to start working on it. You've got to prove that Bill Sands can change. I'll help you. He said, you can get out of this place and I'll help you. And I'm trying to think of the period of time. I'm not even going to put a period of time on it. Maybe it was a year. Maybe it was 2 years. I don't know. But Bill Sands walked out and started at that time what they call the 7-Step Foundation to go out and tell other Bill Sands that when nobody believes you can make it, Warden Duffy looked in my face and said, I believe in you, Bill Sands. And I'm here to tell you today, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Satan always puts that trip on us. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. You know, all that stuff. That's Satan talk. But I don't care who you are here today. There's somebody bigger than Warden Duffy. There's somebody bigger than Peter, James, John, and Paul. There's somebody bigger than anyone that you've ever met on this planet. And his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And even when a Peter has with cursing said, I don't know the man, he's a nothing. This Jesus, I'm not one of them. He's the Jesus that will come back and say, go tell my disciples and go tell Peter. It's the joy of my heart to meet a minister that's failed and get in his face and said, if you've got the guts to come back, I'll help you come back. Most of them don't, but many of them do. I love to find hopelessness. I love to find someone that says it will never happen for me. I love to find situations that seem hopeless because I know a God who is a God of faith and hope and love. And he makes a way not only where there seems to be no way, he makes a way where there is no way. Father, we thank you for the word of God. God, if our world, here we've had two shootings and other threatened shootings in school. God, our world's crazy. Somebody's got to preach a message of hope. Someone's got to preach a message of faith. And someone's got to preach a message of love. Lord, I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus. God, touch us. God, help us to get out of this me and mine and what I like and what I don't like and all that yada-da-da, all that stuff. And help us to dare to look at someone else that's not as fortunate as we are. And Father, help us to prove that we will do it and we can do it. Because Father, when we hear a message like this, we're either going to plug into it and pull out, or this is going to be a word from God. And somewhere down the line, this message will come back and echo. Not in victory, but in defeat. Father, touch every heart in this room today. God, America's got to pull out of the nosedive. Our nation's got to pull out of this nosedive, Father. There must be character and integrity restored to every level of government, to our school system. If children don't respect their parents, they won't respect their teachers. If they don't respect their teachers, they'll be in a shootout with the police somewhere down the line. God, wake us up that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name.